Acts.
Praise the Lord.
The book of Acts, chapter 23, as we come, as we get closer and closer to the conclusion of our series, Kingdom Come, in chapter 23. The Bible tells us in chapter 23, verse 11. It says, the following night, I still hear some pages rustling, chapter 23, verse 11, it says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Let us pray.
Glory
Heavenly
to God.
Father, we're here, stripped, vulnerable, transparent. You see right through us. Father, have your way. Minister to us through your word, and may we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
From his conversion, Saul decided that it was time to change his name. He didn't want to be like his old self. He didn't want any part of his old self. So he finally said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm no longer going to be called Saul. I want to be called Paul. I love that. The new name. The new name. You know, when you decide to give your heart to Jesus, when you have been baptized, not only by water, but by the Spirit, when you have confessed that you are a follower of Christ, there's a name change, isn't it? Isn't there a name change? There's a name change. You're not the same old person. And some of you might say, but I still have some of the same old tendencies. But you don't respond to the same old tendencies in the same manner. You have made a decision. It's a new approach. It's a new way. I am changing my outlook. I am changing my direction. I want a new name. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Being a follower of Christ doesn't mean that you don't fall down. In fact, the Bible tells us a righteous person falls down how many times? But he rises, he gets up.
Amen.
Being a follower of Christ is not about falling down, it's about getting up. Amen? It's not about how many times we fall down, but it's about how many times we get up. Christians decide that even in the face of turmoil and problems, that even in the face of their own frailty, even in the face of addictions, and when they fall and they stumble, that they still get up, because there's a cross to bear, there's a path still to tread, there's a destination ahead. No Amen. Longer Saul, call me Paul. A new man, a new creature, a new mind.
Praise One problem, the Lord.
Once Saul changed to Paul, and once his outlook had changed and he was converted, he began to preach, as we talked about last week. First thing he did right after his baptism was start preaching. People had problems with his message. He was challenging the religion of old. He was challenging in their minds the Old Testament. He was challenging in their minds their prophet Moses. He was challenging traditions. There was a problem. He was getting confronted within his own people, his own religion, the faith that gave birth to this passion that he had. He began to also experience opposition from without. There were the Gentiles, there were the Romans and the Greeks that started hanging on Paul as well, because he was challenging their way of living. There were people that weren't worshiping their former gods, people that were living lifestyles that were acceptable before. Saul, who had become Paul, had become a thorn in many people's sides. In fact, wherever Paul went, there was a riot. That man couldn't end a sermon without people trying to throw hymnals at him. He couldn't finish sentences without people crying out for the Romans to take him out and flog him. Well, in fact, one of Paul's letters, he actually bragged about how many times he had been beaten up, how many times he had been stoned, shipwrecked, flogged in the public. Now, you guys know what that means, to be flogged, right? They would stretch you out. Sometimes they would hang you by your arms so that your entire back, your body, upper body was completely bare. And they would take what they call the cat o' nines. And there were these like four or five leather straps that were embedded with rock and glass and metal. And in front of everybody, stripped down bare, they would beat you. The rocks and the metal would bruise you, and the glass would cut you, and they would do this to the point where some would even die because of shock and blood loss. So there was this one time in one of Paul's sermons. They had enough. There was a riot. The Romans grabbed him, and they were taken away, ready to throw him into the barracks. And Paul said, wait a second, let me address them one more time. They said, are you crazy? They're trying to kill you. But I got you guys. You have my back now. You won't let them kill me. Wait a second. Aren't you one of those terrorists, the Egyptian terrorists that was raiding this town? And then, no, I'm a Jew. I'm Paul. Listen, let me address my own people.
Amen.
So Roman soldiers that were taken away, trying to actually protect his life, and at the same time trying to find out why the people hated him so much. They relented. They said, okay, Paul, you're allowed to preach. Preach. And so Paul got up there, and he began to speak in Aramaic. And the crowd was shocked. Wait a second, he's one of us. He's speaking our own language. So the whole entire crowd began to hush as they listened to Paul. Again, give them the gospel. He talked about his experience. He talked about his conversion. He talked about how he used to fight against Christians and imprison them. He talked about how he was there at Stephen's stoning. He talked about all the dastardly deeds. And he talked about how Christ met him on the road to Damascus and how he was blinded and baptized and he had met Jesus face to face. He talked about these experiences and how Christ is Lord. And now the crowd erupted again. They wanted to tear him apart. The Romans throw him into prison and said, wait a second, you are a crazy man. I don't know why these people want to kill you. So they waited till the next morning. At this time, the Sanhedrin met. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were there, and they were going to judge this person. The Romans were there too. They wanted to find out what he was guilty of. And my man Paul slipped. And he was before the people. You guys don't want to judge me, then we're going to judge you. You want to judge me? Let me tell you what I'm here for. Let me tell you my crime. I believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
Now, some of y'all don't know that there was some victory going on between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You see, Sadducees believed in, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels or demons or spirits. And Pharisees, you see, they believed in the resurrection. They believed that there were angels and there were demons. And that's why they had separate factions. That's why the Sadducees, although they followed Jehovah and the Pharisees followed Jehovah, they were in different groups because they had different doctrines. They had, you know how that is, right? You know, some people are in one denomination because they might differ on just one point. They believe in the same God. They believe in the same risen Lord. They all want to go to the same heaven. And they all hate the same devil. But we all worship in different churches under different banners because we differ on just a belief here or there. So as soon as Paul threw the resurrection comment out there, the Sadducees and Pharisees began to fight. Well, Pharisees said, this man is innocent. Go on, brother, preach about the resurrection.
Amen.
The Sadducees fight. No. And there was, the Bible says they wanted to tear Paul limb from limb. Now, I set it up here. After all of that tumult, after all of that rioting, after the entire city of Jerusalem ready to tear him to shreds, the Bible tells us in chapter 23, verse 11, it says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul. Paul is bruised, scratched. He's hungry, he's thirsty. And Jesus rolls up right next to him in the barracks. Paul struggling to breathe, struggling to hold his weight up. Jesus rolls up next to him. He doesn't put his arm around him. He doesn't wipe the sweat from his brow. He doesn't clean any of the wounds. Jesus just stands right next to him. Says in Paul's ear, what you've done for me here, you will now do in Rome. Wow.
Glory be to God.
You know what they just did to me, right?
I know.
What you did for me in Jerusalem, how you testified about me in Jerusalem, you will now testify about me in Rome. You know Romans crucify people like me. You know they're not gonna want to hear a message about there being any other God greater than their gods. You know that Caesar is supreme. You will testify about me before Caesar in Rome. I have the crews already lined up. Here's your ticket. They're going to send you there as a prisoner. You're going to testify. You see, you know, we get so comfy in our Christianity, don't we? We don't know what it's like to have to struggle and to share our faith. We get baptized now, we take photographs, we have a big celebration, we pat each other on the back, and we say, way to go. But at the conception of Christianity, this movement, what the book of Acts calls the way, that it was forged with blood, sweat, and tears. When you confess Christ, it meant for some instant death. And when Jesus had the opportunity to finally probably tell Paul, dude, slow down, man. You did good, man. I was so proud of you, how you just broke them off in Aramaic back there. That was nice. Wow. They were angry, but you know what? My name went out there. You stood up for me. Attaboy. Way to go. Instead of all that, no accolades, no birthday song, no plaque, no money to buy socks, just boom, you're going to Rome now. Are you going to let me catch my breath? Are you? And did you just see me get pummeled out there for 8 rounds? You're telling me to go back in there? I'm ready to throw my towel. Paul, get ready. We're going to Rome.
Amen.
We're taking this show that was such a success in Jerusalem, and we're taking it on the road.
Glory be to the Lord.
And you know what? Paul wouldn't have had it any other way.
Amen.
Give me my ticket, Jay. Let's do this. Jesus, let's do this. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm not Saul. The old man would have run at this kind of challenge. The old man would have cowered. I'm Paul now. I'm a Christian. Whatever you put on me, whatever cross I must bear, I'll do it. Let's go. I love the story of Paul's journey to Rome. It's one of the more famous stories in the book of Acts. You see, they were trying to get there before winter. And the waters weren't cooperating, the weather wasn't cooperating. And Paul, he noticed how the clouds were forming. He could sense that it wasn't the right time to sail. And he goes to his captors and said, listen, guys, it's not right. We should wait. There's no need to rush. If we go out in the waters right now, we're going to be shipwrecked. The storm is going to tear us apart. And the Roman captor said, listen, you ain't a sailor. You don't know the waters as well as we do. He says, please, I'm telling you, you have to wait till the Roman guards that had him under watch. They went to the pilot of the boat. They said, this is the concern that one of our prisoners had. I'm sure the pilot's like, well, of course he doesn't want to get to Rome. He doesn't want to get killed. He's a prisoner. He's going to go before Caesar. Know about these Christians? We are sailing. And sure enough, as they head on out to the sea, the Bible tells us that a storm, it's a brewing. It begins to toss the boat to and fro. The sailors, in fact, the Bible tells us, we're awake for 14 straight days without food. That is how terrible the storm was. You want to know what Paul said? I told you so. Didn't I tell you back then? Didn't I tell you to listen? I told you so. I told you so. I told you that if you went out to these waters, this is exactly what would happen. I told you so. But check this out. I don't want you guys to be to trip. I don't want you guys to be discouraged. Paul tells us, turn with me to chapter 27. Paul tells us in chapter 27, he says, but check this out, verse 22, chapter 27, verse 22. But now I urge you, he says, to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Amen. He says, keep courage. Keep courage. Only the ship.
ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, the angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you."
Well, I want to unpack this one right now.
The angel of the Lord said, "Listen, God is with you. He wants you to go before Rome. He wants you to go before Caesar. He wants you to finish the mission. And check this out. Everyone that is on this boat because of you will be spared."
Oh, family, that's a good word. That's a good word. Sometimes we get discouraged. We get discouraged because we feel like the people around us don't listen. The people around us in our families that are closest to us don't embrace what we embrace. And we get nervous. We feel like, "Lord, they're all going to perish. They're all going to perish. We're going to lose our lives. I don't want to go to heaven without my babies. I don't want to go to heaven without my best friend." Let me tell you something. When we remain faithful, even in a storm, even in a situation we didn't choose to be, when we remain faithful, even when the boat is shipwrecked, when we remain faithful, God, the Bible tells us, is gracious. He not only will save us, but he will save the people in proximity. I like that's a good word. Because he's like, check this out. Abraham was a good man. Lot, I don't think, was all that good. Lot and his family weren't all that good, because when the angels of the Lord show up at their house and tell them the city's going to be destroyed and leave, they look the angels dead in the eye and say, "No." You do see the wings, right? You can tell that I'm 17 feet tall, right? Okay, I'm going to try to say this as clearly as I possibly can. This city of yours, this home of yours, is about to explode. We want to save you from this destruction. Now let's go. No. How are we going to get out of this? I'm sure one of the angels calls up. Yes, God? Yes. They don't want to go. What are we going to do? They said something about the PlayStation 3. They didn't want to give it up. And there's a new car they just bought. It's in the garage. They just bought that 70-inch plasma screen TV. I know. I even gave them a fiery eye thing. I know, they don't care. But we act like that. We laugh, but we act just like it. We hear warnings. Christ promises that he's going to return. He tells us what he wants to see his people like, and we don't care. No. I'm getting this boat, and I'm going out to sea. There's going to be a storm. No. I dare you to do anything about it. Just stubborn on people. The Bible calls it sin. It's stubbornness. You know what's right and you don't even care. You know what the consequences might be and you don't even care. You're going to do it anyway. So God, what do you want me to do? Can we roll? We don't want to be in the city when it explodes. You want to know what God's orders were? Based on the prayer of Abraham, drag them out of the city. But they don't want to go. I know they don't want to go, but somebody prayed. Somebody lifted up a word on their behalf. Somebody was an intercessor. Somebody bamboozled me into saving these people. Worked me down from 50 to 10. I have to do it. The Bible tells us that when we intercede for people, when we stand as Christ stands up for us, God recognizes that.
Amen.
That's why I'm going to tell you, I'll never discourage people from continuing to pray. I don't care how dire the situation is. You pray. You pray until you're blue in the face. You continue to pray.
Amen.
Intercessory prayer does something. That's why I'm so glad the four men brought their paralytic friend to Christ. They tore up the roof, lowered down their friend in front of Jesus', congregation while he was preaching. Jesus was working up a sweat, and this paralytic is lowered right there on the platform.
Amen.
That man couldn't have gotten there without his four friends. And some of your friends and some of your family members can't get to the throne without your prayers, without your prodding, without your urging, without you being there. And I'm telling you, there'll be many in the kingdom that will be there because of you. You didn't give up on them.
Glory be to God.
And that's why it's important, family. That's why it's important that we don't give up. That's why I love, even at the filling station, I know not everybody can make it up there, but that filling station has become a place where we can pray for one another. We come there together on Wednesday nights and we lift up the petitions of those that don't feel like they have enough faith. Oh, I tell you, I
I'm thinking about the man in Mark chapter 9 when he tells Jesus, I have faith, but not enough faith. I have a little bit of faith, but maybe not enough faith to see my son healed. But Lord, give me enough faith that I might be able to see a miracle happen in my son's life. So the first miracle was Jesus giving this man enough faith. You want enough faith? Watch this miracle. I'll give you some extra faith right about now. I know some of our faith is weak. I understand that. And if you feel like your faith isn't strong enough, grab a brother or sister to work with you in prayer.
Amen.
Stop trying to fight the enemy all by yourself. That was so beautiful about the church. What's great about the church is that we have a team. We don't have to try to beat Kobe and LeBron James out there all by ourselves trying to win the game. We have teammates. Oh, it's going to require you actually having to go up to people and say, listen, I made a big boo-boo. I made a mistake. Let me tell you what I'm struggling with. Let me tell you what I'm addicted to right now. Let me tell you who I'm attracted to right now. Let me tell you what I've been doing with my finances. I need to let you know I'm in a stink right now. I'm in a mess right now. And I need a brother, a sister to go into battle with me. Because right now my faith is weak. It's failing. I don't know if I can trust God enough with this problem. But you know what? I know you have the faith. I know that you're strong in faith. I've heard you pray in church. I've heard you pray about the other brother. I've seen you and heard you at the filling station. There's something about your faith. I want you to pray on my behalf. You talk to Jesus. You go over the throne. Please remember me.
Praise the Lord.
Paul, tell your sailors, tell your captors that don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Not one will be lost. Now, you know what's interesting? All the people on the ship, those were all the bad guys. Weren't they? Weren't they all the bad guys? Weren't they the haters? Weren't they the ones that didn't like us? Weren't they the ones that wanted to see us dead? Weren't they the ones that talked bad about us behind our back? Weren't those the ones that God really should have like rained fire from heaven and destroyed and singed? Why is God saving them? Why is God saving the enemy? Why is God so kind and loving to those who don't care about him and don't care about you? Maybe, just maybe, God saves those who are not worthy.
Amen.
What a concept. Wow. What a concept. Maybe God just happens to save those who are not worthy or deserving, including you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, Paul gets up. Don't worry, guys. An angel visited me last night and say, y'all, I'm not going to be destroyed. It's all good. Just relax. Just chill. I'm going to be the captain from here on out. And by this time, they're all following Paul's orders. Paul's like, hey, guys, you haven't eaten for 14 days. Eat, fill up. All right? We're going to lose the ship. Don't even try to save it. We're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the cargo. I understand. I know it's going to hurt, but you're all going to be alive. Just eat up. Feast, because we're going to be marooned for some time. Yes, Paul. Thank you, sir. Man, I don't even know why we're taking him to Rome. This guy is awesome. He's great. But as the
ship begins to fall apart and it runs up against some sharp rocks, the soldiers become afraid. And what was policy, what was procedure, is that if you were in a situation like this, as a Roman guard and you had prisoners, you were to kill your prisoner because they did not want them to escape. You were to kill them. So as the boat runs up against the sharp edges of the rocks and begins to sink, the soldiers, Roman soldiers, said, let's kill him. But the captain of the guard says no. And the Bible says, you want to know why he says no? Because of Paul. Can't do it. We have a policy. We have a manual. We need to follow it. I can't. It's Paul. I'm not killing that man. He said, do you see how he's been there for us? Do you see the encouragement he's given us? We're not going to kill him.
Amen.
He's going to be spared. The boat is sinking in. Captain says, everybody jump overboard. Anyone who can swim, swim to shore. If you can't swim, grab some of the loose planks and wood and use that for a flotation device. But we'll meet you all the way into the shore. You want to know what's so powerful? This is the perfect opportunity for soldiers and prisoners to like be at each other's throat. I mean, this is the time where you can get revenge. You know, the soldier that flogged you
before he threw you into prison, you can actually try to drown him while you're trying to swim back to shore. You know what I'm saying? This is the time you can just swim away. But the Bible tells us that every single prisoner shows up on the shore ready to be chained up again. Isn't that something about the influence of Paul? Isn't it something how that when you decide that your life is going to be an example, that you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and you are going to be the expressed image of God, His character will shine through in anything you do, that even people around you that would normally be embracing certain behaviors just don't do it anymore? Have you been around people like that? They usually would curse and swear, but when they get around you, they don't want it. They usually would always have too much to drink and get drunk, but now that you're around, that there's just something about your presence that makes them want to do things differently. That even though they might have had a natural inclination to move to the left, they now want to move to the right because of you in their life. Ooh, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. It speaks to the influence that God has through us. It speaks to how God can reach people, prisoners, captives, enemies.
And amen.
We need to be like Paul. Prisoners swimming back. Oh boy, all right. You can lock us up, man. Why didn't you run? Paul wouldn't have run. Here, lock us up. Paul's not doing it. We're not going to do it. Go for it. Cap is all being nice now. Everybody just loves each other. They're all around the campfire singing Kumbaya. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Pass it on. Pass it on. And they're having a good time around the fire. And they have their, you know, veggie meat that they're frying and, you know, and eating and having a good time. And then suddenly the Bible tells them that a viper comes out of nowhere. Captor and captives alike spread out as they see this viper just come out of nowhere and strike Paul. They all gasp and they begin to say, I guess he wasn't that good after all. That poisonous snake just bit him. I guess he wasn't good after all. He's going to die. Stop singing Kumbaya. We better have a funeral right now. Yeah? They're going from pass it on to singing the sweet by and by. Paul is a dead man. Surely he can't be on God's side. Surely his God is not behind him. He's now dead. He thought he was going to escape. He thought he was going to pull one over us. But the gods have caught up with him. He's a dead man. And all they did was just stare looking at Paul. You know what Paul was doing? Eating his veggie links. The prisoners and the captors are getting close to him and they're prodding him and poking him. He's not swelling up. I know that's a poisonous snake. My brother died because of a snake like that. You should be dead. Oh, family, but listen, we have to understand something. The world that we live in, you are going to go through shipwrecks. You know that, right? You're going to have storms. You know that, right? There are going to be some things that you're in that weren't your fault, things that you were in that were your fault. You're going to have snakes that will be in the bushes that are going to come out and strike you when you least expect it. When you feel like everything is going well and everybody's holding hands and life is good, enemy will strike from nowhere. But there's a difference, family. There's a difference. You see, snakes are going to strike us. We know that. Genesis tells us that in chapter 3 that the snakes are gonna bite at our heels. But those same heels will what? They will step on the head of the serpent and destroy you. You see, serpents are gonna bite you, but this is what I love happens. Satan's gonna come out and bite you. He's gonna send all kinds of things your way, and sometimes the things are sent because of your own foolishness. But check this out. When you remain faithful to God, when you decide that you're on His team, I like what happens next. Paul doesn't die.
Praise God.
He doesn't die. He's bitten. He doesn't die. He looks at him. A couple ugly marks. But he's not dead. He's scratched, he's scarred, but not dead. He's bruised, he's battered, but not dead.
he's alive. Oh, that's a good word. Family, let's remain faithful in our witness. Because people watch us when the serpents attack. People watch how we react when the ship is wrecked. People watch us how we respond in the storm. People are looking when prisoners are around us, are afraid, and our captors want to kill us. People are watching when we're in the fiery furnace. People are watching when the walls are so high at Jericho. People are watching when the Goliath is before us and is intimidating us. People are watching when we're in the den of lions. People watch us when we're nailed to a cross. People are watching us, and this is our time to shine.
Glory to the Lord.
It's our time to be a Christian. It's our time to stand up and say, regardless of what happens around me, I will remain firm. I will stand on this foundation. I am one of Jesus. I'm a part of his team. If he's not going down, I'm not going down.
Amen.
You see, when you have that kind of approach, it doesn't matter if you get snake bitten in your marriage. It doesn't matter if you get snake bitten at your job. It doesn't matter if you get snake bitten in the neighborhood, by your homie, by your best girlfriend. It doesn't matter. You're going to still stand. You're just going to brush it off. You know what I'm saying? Just brush that off. Say, devil, that was a nice one. That was a nice one. But check it out. I'm still in the ring.
Praise the Lord.
I'm still ready for the next round. I'm still going where? I'm going to Rome. I'm still going before Caesar. I still have a mission. Nothing's going to stop me from getting to my destination. I'm not going to let anybody rob me of my joy. I'm not going to let anybody rob me of the glory that God has for me. I'm not going to let anybody try to discourage me. An angel told me through the word of God that if I'm on Jesus' side, I'm going to be more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in where? In the world. When you know who has your back, you don't trip when you get bitten by vipers. You don't panic when your boat begins to sink. You'd be like Jesus taking a nap in the boat in the storm. You know what I'm saying? Why did Jesus have to wake up? God is in the boat. Amen. He wakes up and says, why are you guys all afraid? Why are you waking me up? I'm getting my Z's. With the boat, and the water, and the lightning, and the thunder. We're scared. Don't you care? We're gonna die. We're not gonna die! God is in the boat. You think my daddy's going to let me drown? You think I came all this way, lived on this crazy old planet for the last 33 years to drown at sea? Come on, man. Peace be still. I think Jesus was talking to the disciples to be quiet, right? But the waves overheard. Come on, somebody. The waves overheard. The lightning and thunder, they overheard. They said, hey, look at Jesus, stop. We weren't sure he was talking to us over there, but let's just be quiet. God has spoken. But that's what happens. When Jesus is in you, come on. We're going to Rome. Let's do it. We're going before Caesar. Let's do it. We're going to be shipwrecked. Bring it on. You're about to get beat. Let's do it.
Glory be to God.
You know, your marriage is going to go through some tough times. I already know this. You know, one of your children probably is going to leave. He's going to get caught up in the wrong lasso. I know. You're going to get fired. I was expecting it. People are going to hate you. It was probable. I only can be sure of one thing. Jesus is in the boat.
Amen.
He's inside of me. He's called me. I have a destination. You want to roll with me, you can. You want to be part of the same team I'm on, I guarantee you not one of you will be lost. I can't wait till we get to
praise the Lord.
Oh, we're all going to have a story about how we were shipwrecked, how the vipers bit us, how people were backbiting and hating on us, and how people started bad rumors about us that weren't true. We're all going to have stories about going through divorce and dealing with the loss of a child or a loss of a parent. We're all going to have stories that we walked this world and we have dealt with a world full of sin. But you know what? The greatest story we're all going to share in common? We all got to the same destination. We made it!
Jesus Christ.
We made it! Amen. We're all going to have stories about our addictions and our struggle with our sexuality. But check it out! We're all going to get to the same destination. Some of us will have gotten there just by walking so close to Jesus, they bypassed death and walked into the kingdom.
Glory to God.
And some will have the story like the thief on the cross. We don't even know his name. He wasn't important enough. He died as a criminal because that's what he was. But he made it. He made it.
Praise Jesus.
And we're going to make it.
Praise
the Lord. Isn't it different when you know you're going to make it? You don't panic the same way. You don't go into the struggle saying, I thought you loved me. I can't believe you did this to me. You can say, you know what? I know we're going to get through this one. It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't feel like it right now, but I know we're going to get through this. But we don't have a job. How are we going to pay the bills? We're going to be homeless in just a matter of weeks. I know it looks grim. But we have to go to Rome. We have to testify. Our testimony is important. Even in the storm, we won't panic. Because our captain has made a promise. Not one of us will be lost. How many want to embrace that truth?
Praise the Lord.
Just raise your hand. Just want to say, Lord, I want to embrace that truth. I'm not going to panic in the storm any longer, Lord. You made me a promise. I'm going to accept that promise. I want to go to Rome. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'm going to do it with a smile. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example that we have in Paul. Father, you know how discouraged we've been. You know that we've been fighting a storm without food, without water. We feel like we're starved. We feel like we're lost at sea right now. Thank you for reminding us that you're still in the boat. Thank you for reminding us through your son that the world isn't going to always be fair to us. But you made us a promise. Just as you have conquered the world, so you call us to follow in your footsteps. We will not be afraid. We will not be discouraged. Because you are in the boat.
Praise you, Lord.
Father, thank you so much for this encouraging word. Our attitude is different. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Glory be to you, Lord.
Shut up.